Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30 plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Big Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Keep it safe on the roadways out there. Lots of reports of some flooded roads out there. Several areas in our Middle Tennessee listing area have experienced more than 4 inches of rain over the course of the past few days. So make sure you're keeping it safe out there if you have to be out and about this morning. Joe Rex Road, how are we doing? What's going on?
Yeah, doing fine. Stay safe for sure. And I mean, I'm looking at the forecast and I mean, it's like all day long. And I hope this doesn't affect people too much out there. I suppose this could potentially affect tonight. I don't know. It's sort of like it's like 100% for a while. And then at least it's like sort of more in the 60-70% range for part of the day. So hopefully we get some breaks.
I can tell you this. I'm way over the rain, beyond over it.
Yeah. Now, we were talking the other day, you know, they've canceled the events today.
Yeah.
Which is too bad. You know, that stinks. And now you wonder, you know, will this have any impact? Will this cause some shuffling, some scrambling over there with the ice?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a concern. And as of now, based on what they've said, the ice is good. But I imagine they're having to do a whole lot of refreezing and shoveling and refreezing again and shoveling and zamboning and all this other stuff. So going to be interesting to see what happens on that front. Michelle Knezovic, what's going on? How are we doing?
Hey guys, doing good. But yes, everybody, please drive safe this morning. I drove in, lots of water, drive slow and be cautious. But yeah, Rob, I'm over the rain too. I just wanted some nice weather this week. I'm supposed to go to the stadium series. I hope it doesn't rain. So fingers crossed on that. It clears up for the weekend.
Yeah, hopefully it will. I think we've all got our fingers crossed for that. Michelle, big win by your Cats last night. It got hairy for the first part of that game, but they come through at the end.
Listen, same thing that happened in the Alabama game. I'm like, I could have gone without watching this first half, to be honest. I was very stressed. And then, of course, since we're up early, I fell asleep. So I'm watching the highlights right now. But I did wake up at about 3:45 and saw that we won. So that was great.
If you're going to wake up at 3:45, no better news to wake up to, I guess.
No better. I just checked my Twitter timeline. I'm like, okay, because I know a lot of the media people there. I'm like, okay, where's this person? Okay, got it. Yep. And then I fell back asleep for a couple more minutes, and it was all was well in my world over here.
Yeah, I stayed up last night watching the Lightning and the Oilers play, which of course the Lightning coming in here this weekend, and then I stayed up watching some other world events taking place last night. So not much sleep going on today.
Yeah, boy, not great. Let's see. The last report I saw, 40 confirmed dead by Ukraine. So who knows where this goes? We're talking weather. We're talking world affairs. You know,
we're the only show in town. We can talk all these things.
That's right. That's right. We're the only show in town that's going to be honest about Vladimir Putin.
Yeah. Taking your thoughts all day long on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. Joe, the day has arrived. Pecorine Day officially here for the Nashville Predators. You were at the luncheon yesterday for Pecorine. What was that like? We all came out and saw Pecorine yesterday.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was a very cool event. Let's see. You had you had a full ballroom packed at the Grand Hyatt, and of course fans could come and support the 365 fund. And obviously there was, you know, this was a lot around what Pecorine and Shea Weber have done, and now kind of pass the torch to Roman Josi, you know, in terms of pediatric cancer, fighting it and being with these kids and having relationships with them. And, you know, it's well documented, Pecorine, you know, what he has meant to people. And I would also say, just as I'm thinking about it, Brooks Bratton had a really great piece about Pecorine and a kid, a local kid, and their relationship at the Preds official site. So check that out. But yeah, it was a great event. You know, Chris Mason and Hal Gill. It was, you know, Pete Weber emceeing, and we had some country music that was nice. We had a painter over nice. to the side painting a picture of Pecorine in real time as the banquet went on. The painting was materializing to the left of the stage, and then the bulk of it was. I mean, I think Pecorine had to come up like three different times to talk. He got an award from Middle Tennessee pediatricians, and then Hal Gill and Chris Mason. That was the bulk of the program, was those two guys asking him questions. So it was good. There was a lot of interesting stuff in there, and then, you know, we got to talk to Pekka again after the I guess there were about five of us who talked to him afterward, and you know, get to see his wife and his kid, and his parents were there, and like the whole, I mean, the Rene clan is here in full force. I mean, anybody you can think of, you know, in the Preds universe was there. So it was good. I really enjoyed Hal Gill talking about the first time he got traded to the Preds, and we'll have Hal on later. We can get more info on this.
Oh yeah.
The first time he was traded to the Preds, or shortly after his trade, he's like, yeah, you know, I'm trying to figure out what these guys are all about. And like, he was like in a car, they were going to like a golf outing, like kind of road trip to Arizona or something. And how he was in a car with Pecorine. And then I'm trying to think, it was like Shea Weber and somebody else in the other car. But anyway, he was like, yeah, you know, are these guys cool or whatever? He did the golf course. And he's like, as soon as Pecorine saw that the beer cart was there, he did a cartwheel. And it was, you know, he's like, all right, I'm going to like these guys, you know? So, you know, it was cool. I mean, the whole week, I talked to Peck on Monday, and it was like, how many of the same question have you been asked? He's like, yeah, well, quite a few. And then he got asked like a lot of the same ones yesterday, and it'll happen again today.
Oh yeah.
You know, after, I think it's like at 10 a.m. he's available at Bridgestone, and you know, it's a lot of reminiscing, a lot of similar questions. There are some similarities even to the conversation from a year ago, because obviously it's just been a year. But it's a great reminder of, I think yesterday, of like, man, it's going to be hard to top this guy in this town, you know, just in terms of universal appeal, universal approval. Pecorine, he's gonna loom large over Nashville sports for a long time. And also, I think he said he's not sure what their long-term plans are, but you know, I think he's still going to be at least a part-time Nashvillian moving forward.
Yeah, I think so too, which is really cool. I will say, the Preds tweeted out a photo yesterday. It was really cool of just, you know, hanging out in the locker room. I think Pete Weber was talking, which is always an adventure if you know Pete Weber. And then there's Pekka, Roman Josi, and Shea Weber in the locker room for the Predators, just laughing it up. And, you know, obviously this week is about Pekka. I will say, it's good to see Shea Weber around, because I do think there was, in the immediate aftermath of the trade, I think it's fair to say there are probably some hard feelings on his part through what happened here. And, you know, obviously you get to the Stanley Cup final the next year after you trade him. You know, I don't know what his relationship is like with the entire organization. I don't know what it's like with David Poile, but it's pretty good to see him around here for this. And a really cool photo Predators put out there yesterday.
That was a very cool photo. Yeah, unfortunately, so Shea Weber, his flight got delayed like in Minneapolis or something yesterday. So he wasn't able to be at the thing yesterday, but yeah, so now he's here, and yeah, huge part of this. And yeah, that is interesting. I mean, actually, one of the things yesterday is, you know, Pecorine talking to David Poile. I mean, they kind of asked him about a lot of different people, you know, who have been important to him along the way. And he had some really nice things to say about David Poile. And again, that's where, like, you know, I mean, look, you remember Shea Weber's presser when he came back the year after being traded. And I don't remember who asked him about Poile, but it was like, yeah, I'd rather not talk about that. You know, but that's how it goes. I mean, pro sports, usually, not, I don't know if it's usually, yeah, I mean, for the most part, like even so Jarrell Casey kind of mends fences with the Titans, but obviously he had very hard feelings when they traded him. I mean, inevitably, a lot of these players you choose, you trade for, you draft, and at some point you're going to cut them or trade them, and it's hard to maintain like really tight relationships with the GM of your team, you know? Yeah. That's another thing. It's like Pecorino and David Poyle, you know, like the closeness. I mean, the whole career arc, just again, the from day one all the way to the end, there's one uniform, you know, that he ever was affiliated with. Well, two, I guess, the Admirals or the Preds, you know. So it's a rarity.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what this is going to be like for him. I mean, he's always been a guy that has worn his emotions on his sleeve. You know, I remember when he won his 300th game and just, you know, getting emotional on the bench with Kara Hammer. Obviously, the lap last year against Carolina when we thought that was probably going to be it for Pekka. I'm interested tonight when the ceremony takes place, like what's going to be going through his mind and what it's going to be like for him. I would imagine there will be some tears shed, both from his point and from the crowd as well. Just a guess, but I imagine that's what takes place.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. And I'm really interested to see. I mean, look, I know that like yesterday, you know, a lot of members of the organization were like rehearsing, you know, parts of the hour of the program tonight for Pecorino, you know. Like it's a big, I mean, you fill in an hour, man. That's a lot. That is a lot. So I'm very interested to see what they have planned and what they've come up with for this. I'm sure it's going to be really good.
We will take your thoughts on Pecorino all show today here on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Catfish Jake tweeting in says, favorite memory is being at his last game, a shutout with my 12-year-old son. Witnessed history together. Second favorite is Game 6 Stanley Cup Final. He was phenomenal in that game. Catfish Jake tweeting that in on Twitter. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. When we come back, a little bit of a bombshell thrown out there last night that could put a damper on this week for the Nashville Predators. We'll get into more of that coming up on the other side. I've got some new information on that as well, so we'll get to that coming up on the other side as well. Let me tell you about my friends at Jasper's. It's the neighborhood bar and restaurant to catch the next Preds game. Jasper's is located on West End Avenue and offers a fun atmosphere with a game room, TVs, and a large bar and lounge area. Plus, they offer free parking. That's right, free parking on West End and other specials for every game day as well, including $10 smash burgers and $3 bottle domestics as well. So make sure you come on down to Jasper's for the next Preds game day for happy hour every weekday from 4 to 6 p.m. and 2-for-1 beers all day long on Sundays. Just tell them that Robbie Stanley sent you. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, taking your thoughts on the Predators. We'll get to a report on Philip Forsberg coming up here in just a few minutes. Right now, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Ryan from Nashville, who wants to weigh in. Ryan, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Morning, guys. I got to say, my two favorite memories of Pekka has to be the All-Star game when Dirk straightened it out and gave him the guitar to play goalie with instead of he's sick, and him looking around like, how am I going to do this? And the other one had to be Game 3 after in the Stanley Cup playoffs, after losing the two in Pittsburgh, to see the bowl filled and the minute Pekka took the net, but warm up, the entire bowl started chanting his name, and it just—I thought that was the most amazing thing ever. Because you know, warm up, it's never full, and that one game, the entire bowl was full just to see him take the net and team get on the ice.
Yeah, that's awesome stuff. Thanks for the call, Ryan. The Dirks Bentley thing was funny in the All-Star game and the skills competition when he's, you know, trying to make a stick save with a guitar out there. That was good stuff. I will say to Ryan's point. And, you know, I think Pekka was certainly a big part of why people filled the bowl up. But we talked about it yesterday, just that atmosphere in Game 3 of the Cup Final, everybody kind of soaking that in together. That was awesome. And, you know, obviously when he came out there, they're down 0-2 in the series, and that place just erupted for Pecorino when they came out there for warmups. That was pretty cool stuff.
No question about it. That was, you know, It's funny because I was actually just thinking about this yesterday. With when as Chris Mason's up there emceeing, you know, the conversation with Pecorino, like between games 2 and 3, and we've talked about this with Laviolette too. You know, the whole like the door left like open a little bit on a goalie change. You know, and I wrote something in there, and I remember I talked to Chris Mason. Like I got Chris Mason on the phone, you know, and I was like, all right. Mostly it was just like, what do you think of like Pekka so far in the series and stuff? But you know, as we got into the whole goalie change, I mean, he was just like, dude, come on. I'm like, I don't think it's real either. I'm just saying, Lobby won't just, you know, close the door on it. But everybody knew that he was going to be in goal, and you're right. That was of all those, like so many, you know, those timeouts with the fans and everything. That was, That and then followed up by how he played in that game and in game 4. What just that whole series though was just so wacky, you know, because it was so good at home and so not in Pittsburgh. But those two games, that's got to be, I mean, that's basically, that's the height of the franchise history, you know. That's, you know, tying up a Stanley Cup final in game 4 and setting yourself up for a 3-game series to win the cup.
Yeah, like it's one of those things that you brought up game 4 and like a memory just starts coming flooding back to me. Like, you know, in our job, Joe, and you know this, like it's very difficult to like sometimes recognize, I guess, the emotion of the moment at the time because, you know, we're removed from it a little bit from fans and we're trying to, you know, do our job as we're watching this. I will say I can remember the play in my head where Crosby's coming down on a breakaway in game 4. And he goes to the back end. Pekka makes the first save. There's a scramble in front of the net. I can hear the call in my head. And Kunitz is in there digging for the puck. And he dives back and makes it. I remember in real time, like as loud as that place got and the save that Pekka made on that play, like I got full body chills just watching it. And then they come back and they win that game. It's just there's iconic moments. That was one of those for Pekka, was that kind of sequence of saves where he's totally out of control. And this is what makes it interesting, like between him and Saros, because you don't see this happen a lot with Saros, with like the just full on scramble mode save. That was Pekka's specialty. When it looked like he was totally out, he could find a way to get back in there and battle and make a save. Now, I'm not saying Saros doesn't battle. I'm just saying they're very different in the way that they go about it.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, Saros post to post it's astounding how.
Yeah.
How easy he makes it look and how much ground he can cover. But yeah, it's almost seriously like watching two different positions. If you really watch those two guys play, which is very interesting, the Preds back to back have guys who are so different from Finland, so close. And as it turns out, it looks like, you know, both so good.
Yeah, there is that too. Joe, last night, a report thrown out there by Andy Strickland, who is a ringside reporter of Bally Sports for the Midwest, covers the St. Louis Blues. Andy Strickland has been around for a long time. He's been covering the NHL for more than 20 years. Andy Strickland putting out a report last night says, quote, hearing the Preds are actively shopping superstar Philip Forsberg. The Preds are actively shopping superstar Philip Forsberg. So obviously, I saw that tweet, and that raised my eyebrows quite a bit. I sent it to you all in the text message, and that has since caused a lot of traction, lots of conversation on Twitter as well. My first thoughts on this when I saw it was, man, the timing on that seems really weird because David Poile went on, you know, the midday show, Darren Donick and Chase last week, talking about they want to sign Philip Forsberg. And they says, you know, basically, if you sign Philip Forsberg, the team's going one way. And if you don't sign Philip Forsberg, you're probably thinking about other things as the team. Here we are. We're, you know, still basically a month away from the trade deadline. And now there's a report out there that the Predators are actively shopping. Now, people have taken this and kind of run a few different ways with it. Some people hear that report and they say, well, of course, if you're David Poile, you want to see what the interest level is and gauge what you could get back for Philip Forsberg. To me, Joe, I think there's a difference, and I could be wrong. I view it as a difference between gauging interest and actively shopping. To me, those are two very different things when it comes to Philip Forsberg. What was your reaction to this when you saw Strickland's report that the Predators are actively shopping Philip Forsberg? And what do you think that means in terms of the way that contract negotiations have gone between Forsberg and the Predators?
Well, I guess I'm still figuring out my reaction to this. I mean, my initial reaction on our text thread was, what's this guy know? So first of all, you mentioned that he had Granlund first. He has a fair amount of league news, not just like Blues stuff.
Yeah, he'll come up with some league news. And I will say, and I remember, you know, we had a conversation with Adam on our show the day of free agency last year. And we were basically talking about, you know, Granlund's gone at that point. And Adam's information was right on that. I mean, I think all indications were that they had tried to come together. A deal wasn't going to be reached and Granlund was going to reach the market. And then, as we know, about an hour later, Granlund, right when free agency opened, signed with the Predators. The first person that I saw who had that was Andy Strickland. So, look, that doesn't mean that, you know, he's absolutely right that, you know, the Philip Forsberg is just going to get traded at some point here. But I think if you're out there and you're just brushing it off because it's a reporter from St. Louis, I don't know that I would do that either.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. So it could be a number of things, but one thing that bothers me about, first of all, you know, we've talked a little bit on Twitter, you know, Jeremy Gover was weighing in last night too on what this could mean. You know, David Poile, in my experience, is not one of the GMs, I think, who says a lot to anyone. And doesn't seem like someone who likes to float things,
yeah.
To you know, help in negotiations. I also, you know, I find it very doubtful that David Poile would want this talked about this week, right? I mean, like, I can't imagine that he is happy to see that now. This week, which should be all about Pecorine, this team, the Stadium Series, is now getting a new injection of Forsberg panic.
Right.
So that with that in mind, you know, I'm assuming this still has some indication or gives some indication, you know, that the negotiations aren't going great. And I, again, go back to that Darren Donick and Chase interview with Poile. It sounded to me like someone who was a little maybe frustrated or motivated to push the other side on the negotiations.
I will say this. When I saw this report from Strickland yesterday, my initial reaction was, okay, that tells me one of two things. If this is true and the Predators are, quote, actively shopping Philip Forsberg, that tells me that either Forsberg has told them that, hey, I'm taking this thing to market. It's just not going to happen. I'm not saying I'm not going to sign with you, but I'm going to market and I want to see what goes on there. Or that they're just so far apart on contract negotiations that both sides are just kind of throwing their hands up in the air and saying, all right, why are we even talking about this anymore? That was my initial reaction when I saw this. Now, I can tell you that according to one of my sources, Philip Forsberg has not told the Predators that he doesn't want to stay. I can tell you that Philip Forsberg has not told the Predators, hey, I don't want to be here. I can tell you that. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that they're just automatically going to come to a deal? No. I mean, the business part of this has to work out. But, you know, we've talked about this before. If Forsberg ever told them that, I would have been really surprised. And according to my source, Forsberg has not told them that he did not want to stay as a Nashville Predator, which honestly, Joe, it kind of makes this even weirder to me, because if he's not told you that, why would you be actively shopping him a month before the deadline? You know, 2 weeks, a week before the deadline, and you're still not any closer to a deal, then yeah, at that point, I think you start looking around if that's the way you feel you want to go. But a month out, I feel like there's still a lot of time to try and work on this if you're David Poile and the Predators.
Yeah, well, first of all, that's good reporting on your part, and that's important because, yeah, that, like, if it was that, you know, then it's like, okay, well, you've got to start thinking about other things. You got to get yourself ready. You got to protect yourself. Yeah, if it's just that they're that far apart, why couldn't they get closer next week? Why couldn't they get closer the week after? Are they just at an impasse, like you said, where it's just like, nah, it's just there's a chasm between both sides. I guess that's probably it. But again, I'd love to, you know, of course, would love to know how this came about, where this is coming from. Typically, you figure it's an agent or you know, it's someone with another team who had just had a call with David Poile, who maybe someone who is more willing to talk to reporters about stuff like this and say, yeah, just got a call from Poile, and man, they are looking to shop Forsberg, you know. But regardless, again, like this, like David Poile cannot be happy to me that this has become a thing this week.
Yeah, the timing of it certainly does not work out well for the Predators this week. Let's take your reaction on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. What do you make of the report from Andy Strickland that the Predators are, quote, actively shopping Philip Forsberg? We'll get into more of that coming up on the other side. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN 102.5 The Game is Nashville's official home of NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 1:30 for the Wise Power 400 at the Auto Club Speedway. Also get set for the race with Chasing Checkers every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Nashville Predators, a report from Andy Strickland last night that the Predators are, quote, actively shopping Philip Forsberg. And we're just discussing our reaction to that, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Again, I can tell you that according to my source, Philip Forsberg has not told the Predators that he doesn't want to stay a Predator. Now, that also does not mean that he has told them that I'm going to be here no matter what. So I think it's important to kind of establish that. All I'm saying is my source has told me that Philip Forsberg has not told the Predators, hey, I don't want to be here. So that to me is important, because if he's not said that, this report is interesting to me in terms of the timing of it, because Joe, I feel like if you're David Poile and you want to sign Philip Forsberg, which I think he's made pretty clear that he does, to me, like, you're exhausting every option that you have at your disposal, and you're taking it down as close to the wire as you can take it before you're just forced to make a decision of, all right, it's just not going to happen, and there's too much value in this guy to just let him walk for nothing. I mean, we've talked about it. They're in a playoff spot right now. If you get rid of Forsberg, what does that do to this team? Is that something, you know, David Poile would even do? Like, would he treat Philip Forsberg as a rental player? Maybe he would. Maybe he wouldn't. I certainly understand if you know you're going to lose him, wanting to get back all the assets that you can. But to me, it's important to establish that, because I feel like if you're the Predators and you really want to sign him, you're going to take this down as long as you can take it, unless you just know that it's hopeless.
Yeah. And, you know, it's, and I, like, what if, you know, what if Forsberg, and he's basically been on a tear all year, but what if he stays on a tear, goes on more of a tear, and that's a big part of this team going on? I mean, look, this team still could absolutely get second in the division. I mean, that's still there for the taking if this team got hot. So what if that happens? And all of a sudden, a month from now, you're right up against the deadline. Nothing has changed in negotiations. And, you know, you're looking at like a real chance to do something. I mean, I guess in that situation, you would look at it like, well, Philip Forsberg is your rental. But then there's the other way. And I'm sure the truth will be somewhere in between. But the other way is you're on the fringe. You know, you're on the fringe, and if you trade him, there's a good chance that you'll fall on the other side of it, and you won't be in the tournament. What if that's the case? But at the same time, you're not optimistic at all. I mean, there's a lot of time, as you said, for them to talk this through and figure this out. That's why this is so surprising to see that, you know, that term, actively shopping at this point, And with your information, which is very important, that it's not a case of, okay, like that would almost be, you know, be the player doing the club a solid, say, look, it's just not going to happen. I don't think that happens very often.
No.
But certainly your mind goes to that when you see something like this. Like, do they know like that it's just not going to happen? No, apparently it's just that they're still far apart. So why now is this a thing that has seen the light of day?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. And that's, I think, what you have to get to the bottom to. Now, maybe it is, you know, it could be as simple as, you know, somebody calls David Poyle and says, all right, well, are you willing to trade Philip Forsberg? Here's my offer. And David Poyle goes, well, we're not willing to trade him right now, but that offer is, you know, we'll be listening up until the trade deadline. Well, like, is that conversation of listening to trade offers that you have with one general manager that leaks to a reporter, that leaks to an agent, is that actively shopping? Like, I guess a lot of this probably depends on what your definition of actively shopping is, because I read actively shopping and listening to offers as two very different things, but maybe other people view it differently. I don't know.
Well, and that's exactly right. And it may not sound like a big deal, but that is a big difference. Those words are very important. And that's where I'm just not very familiar with this particular reporter, but like you said, I mean, he's been doing this for a long time. He doesn't just report on Blues stuff. So, you know, for a Preds fan who, and I know this happens a lot, if it's not, you know, if it's not one of your traditional like NHL newsbreakers or whatever league we're talking about, right? You know, for anybody who wants to dismiss this as just someone just throwing something against the wall, that doesn't add up. That doesn't make sense based on his track record. You know, credibility is everything in this business. So there are people who don't have it and who throw things around. And this person has been in the business a long time and knows, you know, I would presume knows how you're supposed to do the job. And I would also presume would not just throw those particular words out.
Yeah.
Right. I wouldn't think.
I wouldn't think so. Like, actively shopping to me tells me that David Poyle is like, all right, I'm taking offers on Philip Forsberg. Get them to me. We're shopping this. We're going with this now.
And if that's the case, that could still be just a Poyle strategy to try to, you know, it's like, I'm trying to think of an analogy in real life. You know, it's like, you know, if we're punishing one of our kids, you know, it's like, okay, I'm holding your phone right now.
Yeah.
You want this for the next month or not?
Right. Because,
you know, it's in my hand. I'm taking it. Or you can do the dishes. That's a terrible analogy, but you know what I'm saying. Poyle deciding, I guess, like, hey, you know what? Let's just start having conversations with other people if we're going to be this far apart with them. Poyle, who, again, went on Darren Donica Chase and said things that, and maybe it's worth even bringing back those comments today at some point, but said things that to me, like, some people would hear them differently now, but it sounded to me like maybe a little bit of frustration with Forsberg's agent at that point. That's how I heard it.
Yeah. Let's go to our text line driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Ryan in Nashville texting in says, actively shopping Forsberg could also mean asking teams what they will pay for him in free agency to see what the price tag will be as well. Maybe, but I don't know that teams are, number one, I don't know that teams would tell the Predators what they're going to pay him in free agency. And number two, you know, if you're a team that's interested in Philip Forsberg, like, are you really thinking about that right now when he's not in market? I would be pretty shocked if that's what actively shopping means.
Yeah, I think GMs talk about what they'd give each other, but I don't think there's a lot of, so in June, what are you going to try to pay him? You know, I doubt there'd be a lot of, if a GM asked the other GM that, the other GM would probably be like, yeah, anyway, so how you doing, David?
Right.
How's the family? Yeah. Now, let's change the subject.
Let's go back to the text. I got a text that says, in life, people in sports say he's day to day. Every human being is day to day when they say someone is being actively shopped in the NHL. That could just be a GM making calls and seeing how the deal's going. If it doesn't start to work out, let us know what's going to take to get him. And that happens every day in the NHL. Andy's a great reporter, but it kind of seems like he might be stirring the pot a little bit right now. And he does host the number one rated podcast in the NHL and on iTunes. He's extremely credible. Yes, he does. You know, Cam and Strickland, great podcast. So, like, again, I'm not taking any issue with Andy Strickland here. Like,
yeah,
he's a credible reporter, and I have no issue with him. I'm wondering what actively shopping actually means.
Well, and here's the thing. You know, you've already added to this report with your reporting, and I know your sources are very good. There are others who are going to do the same today, you know, and I would imagine, you know, some of the guys who typically have a lot of this stuff are in the league are going to poke around on this. There's going to be probably more pretty soon to flesh this out too, and kind of give a little bit better picture of what exactly that means.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, you know, the Dregers and the LeBrons and the Friedmans of the world that typically break a lot of news in the NHL, I'd imagine they'll probably be looking into this today. So it's probably not the last we're going to hear of it the next few days. We'll continue the conversation on Philip Forsberg. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join 102.5 The Game this Saturday night for the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade. You can have drink specials, enter to win Preds tickets, and watch the Preds take on the Tampa Bay Lightning at Nissan Stadium. It's the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade, located at 114 2nd Avenue South downtown. The puck drops at 6:30 coming up on Saturday night. This is a Preds game day, by the way. 102.5 The Game Preds game day broadcast brought to you by Hermitage Design Center, the professional source for lighting, hardware, appliance, custom kitchens, and Bass on the web at GoHermitage.com. We are discussing Philip Forsberg and the trade deadline. A report last night from Andy Strickland that Philip Forsberg, the Predators are actively shopping, was the term used, Philip Forsberg last night in the report by Andy Strickland. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Devin from Dover texting in says, if they trade Forsberg, it better be for somebody who can plug in right on that top line, because I'm here to tell you, I don't see anyone else on this team that's ready to fill Forsberg's skates. I'm talking like Brock Besser or Mitch Marner. Well, I can tell you, neither one of those guys are getting traded for Philip Forsberg.
No.
I mean, if you're trading Philip Forsberg, he still doesn't have a contract. You're not getting, you know, a Mitch Marner type player. First off, if Forsberg was signed to an 8-year deal, the Leafs are not trading Forsberg for Marner. So I would be shocked by that. But that's the thing. Like, the return, most likely, you might get an NHL player that could help you right now as a part of the package. But most likely, return is probably going to be, you know, a couple of picks and a high-level prospect, or one pick and a couple of high-level prospects. It's something that could help you down the road. It's hard for me to envision a scenario where you're trading Forsberg and you're getting anywhere near better right now, which is something to keep in mind.
No, it's a step back to try to take step forwards later move. It's what's going to be. You're going to be worse in the short term. Period. Well,
and that's what I think makes this so difficult. I thought it was interesting to hear Poile. You know, we've said it, we've thought it. I thought it was interesting to hear Poile admit it last week on Darren Donick and Chase, because he's basically like, you know, yeah, if we sign Philip Forsberg, that kind of takes us in one direction as a team. And if we don't, kind of takes us in a different direction as a team. I think we all kind of know that. But to hear the general manager come out and say that, I thought was pretty interesting last week.
Yeah. Well, and look, I can even read into that comment, you know, that could be read a little bit like, Philip, do you want this franchise? There's a lot on you, Philip. A lot of people are counting on you. We'd like to win and go in that direction. But, you know, if your contract's that important, then we go in the other direction. I'm not saying that's what he was doing, but you could read it that way.
Well, and I think the thing to keep in mind here, too, is, you know, you're less than a month away from the deadline now. You know, David Poile's talked about this. There's got to start to be some urgency on both sides. I think both J.P. Barry, who is Forsberg's agent, and David Poile, they've been through this a lot. They know what they're doing. And what may seem like a really urgent situation to the fan base and to us right now, really all it takes is you sit down. You can hammer a deal out in a day if you really want to. So I know the timeline is getting close to being freakout time, but to me, unless you're just totally miles apart, and I can't imagine, like, I'm sure they're apart, obviously, because there's no deal right now. I can't imagine they're that far apart, right? Like, is Forsberg wanting like an 8-year, $80 million deal? And the Predators are like, yeah, we'll give you 3 for $20. Like, what? Like, I can't imagine you're that far apart.
I wouldn't. I know. I think the same thing. Yeah. Unless, again, there's just the, you can always on the player agent side say, look, why settle when the market is going to be better? Yeah. But the club has that advantage. So is it that Poile? I've heard a lot of Preds fans say no more long-term deals. Is that Poile's? Is that now Poile's policy? He just isn't telling anybody because that advantage of that extra year you can offer, which means of course that you can offer more guaranteed money, just by having that extra year, you would think would, and that's why I think there's been a lot of optimism about this. Like, you would think that would close the gap pretty well.
Well, and one thing I've always thought about with this negotiation in particular is we've talked about Forsberg. You know, we all saw it on Instagram last year. I talked to him about it before the season started, like watching Ryan Ellis and Victor Arvidsson get traded. Obviously, he's upset by that. I think it's pretty clear at this point. Like, if I'm Phil Forsberg and I've just watched that happen, there's probably, I wouldn't say there's no way. I am fighting tooth and nail if I'm Philip Forsberg and his representation. Yeah, whatever deal I sign, it's going to be a full no movement clause because I'm not signing a deal and then you trading me 2 years later.
Yeah, no, that's certainly on the menu of possibilities of like, where is there just a sticking point that's like both sides like, nope, not moving off that. That seems like a pretty good place to look. Because I would totally understand a player wanting that. And we know that David Poile has tried like the Dickens to avoid those things. And it's starting to erode on him a little bit, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, he had to give it to Yossi. I don't think there's any question about that. And, you know, there's a partial no movement clause to Matt Duchene. So it's changed a little bit as of late. But we talked about this the day after Ryan Ellis got traded. You know, you can think what you will of the Ryan Ellis trade. And I think obviously, given that Ryan Ellis has played four games this year and they've shut him down, probably a pretty good idea to move on from that contract. But number one, that's why David Poile didn't like signing people to no movement clauses. So you can move on from a contract like that. And number two, if you're a player like Ryan Ellis, I think it's fair to say took less money to sign here. I think he could have made more money on the open market. Yeah. And he signed here because number one, he wanted to be here. But number two, you know, your money goes longer, you know, farther here with a no state income tax. Like when you get traded to Philadelphia, the contract that you signed here, it's not the same in Philadelphia. Like the money is less in Philadelphia. So if I'm a player and I've just watched Arvidsson get traded and I've just watched Ellis get traded, especially a player of the caliber of Philip Forsberg, I don't even know that I'm signing a deal without a no movement clause. That's me. I'm not saying that's the way Forsberg feels. I could just see that being a pretty major sticking point.
Yeah, no, I agree. I absolutely agree with that. You know, those deals that those guys were signing also, I mean, there was a run of like what I would call team friendly. Now, granted, the term was, you know, was long, but again, like when you can move on, that's why you do that. But I feel like a lot of those deals also, it was kind of all in that time period where it looked, you know, they liked each other. They liked playing here and they had like a team that looked like it was going to be a contender for several years. You know, I think there's a lot of factors there that was like, hey, like let's all stick together and, you know, and do something here special. I think that helped David Poile. So building the team he did that was that competitive helped him. I think put together a lot of pretty team friendly deals. And now it's obviously a little bit different. It's just the question of like, even though it's been obviously a very good year, it's not quite the same, right? You know, and there's still a time if you're Forsberg, you know, I can see, you know, you could still see greener pastures elsewhere if you're looking around the league potentially.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says, is this the same reporter that said they were going to trade Ekholm last year? I don't know what Andy Strickland said about Matthias Ekholm last year. I will say.
I don't think so, though.
I don't think so. And look, the Ekholm chatter, I know that he's still here, and I know that obviously he has signed a contract. I don't think we were that far away from Ekholm probably being on the move last year. Like, think about, you know, mid-February last year, the Predators were awful, and you were getting close to having to make a decision if you were David Poile. And then they turned things around. And by the time the day of the deadline came around, the Predators were in the mix. Like, if the Predators had continued to not be in the mix, I think Ekholm wouldn't be here right now. So, I mean, I don't know that. That's just my guess. So, you know, I get it. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be skeptical of the Predators trading Philip Forsberg. I am just saying, like, just because Ekholm didn't get traded last year, to me, doesn't mean that the chatter around that wasn't real.
There's a totally different reality if they don't do a 180 last season, and very possibly includes him playing elsewhere right now.
Go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Craig texting in says, I don't think they're calling teams, but are listening to offers, as Poile should do if he's a good general manager. This could be a good thing. Maybe make Forsberg take a deal if he wants to remain in Nashville. Again, I'm not dismissing the idea that maybe this could be a negotiating tactic. I just, to your point, number one, the timing of it, it's very hard for me to believe that David Poile would want something like that out this week, with Pecorine's jersey retirement being tonight and the stadium series coming out. And number two, it's just not typically the way that he operates in contract negotiations. So I don't know that I buy that this is all coming from Poile.
Yeah, I don't either. It would not be like him. Now, again, apparently, maybe that was different. I know we probably don't have time to get into all this, but maybe that was different back in the Suter days, potentially, I guess.
Yep.
I mean, I'm sure, you know, look, at some point in a GM's tenure, there's, you look at media and you say, well, I can use this to my advantage. Let a little information go here or there. Some do it all the time. David Poile, but from my understanding of things, is not that guy. And again, like, this week is not when you want this happening. I mean, today's Pecorino day, and we're talking about Philip Forsberg, and you know, and that's not what you want if you're David Poile. So that's hard. I mean, and if you're him, did he give this to someone and say, but don't say it yet, wait till next week,
right?
You know, right. David Poile's been around the block a couple times more, you know, too many times to make that mistake.
I would say so. We'll continue to take your thoughts on Philip Forsberg and the Nashville Predators. As we said to start the show, taking your thoughts on your favorite Pecorine moment all show long as well on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Could this franchise be at a crossroads? We'll get to that coming up on the other side as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.